juice.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Beasley switching in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Gorilla Glue. It is now embedded indelibly in my mind after that last segment with Fred AJ and Aaron. That's just remarkable. What did AJ say, Aaron? I'm going to put some... gasoline in my eyes, like Visine, or what?
Yeah, he's going to use gasoline as eye drops and then sue Exxon because, well, okay. It burned my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you can't teach stupid, can you? Unbelievable. So I'm going to put some glue in my hair and then I'm going to sue the company. Okay. You got to love that. It's like the person who slips and falls down in an office and they come back and do it again a year later. It's not good. All right, let's get ourselves together here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Aaron Raybould behind the glass as always tonight. We got a lot to talk about. I'm excited to bring you this edition. By the way, we're back on the air Thursday as well, so at 7 o'clock Central Time. Tonight, as always, we stream at ESPN975.com. The call-in number, 713-780-3776. By the way, I know there's a ton of Tigres fans in Houston. I want to hear from you. 713-780-3776. It is remarkable what Tigres has done. They've got to the FIFA Club World Cup final. They will take on none other than the European champions, Bayern Munich. What an incredible opportunity. In some ways, it's already mission accomplished because they're the first ever CONCACAF team to ever do this. But they have lifted the profile of CONCACAF. We're going to get into that in the first segment. And we do know, and I hope people... you know, that follows sports in Houston, maybe don't understand much about Tigres and Liga MX. The amount of fans that are in Houston that are Tigres supporters, Rayados supporters, these two teams play out of Monterrey, Mexico. Monterrey, Mexico will host World Cup 2026. But that may be the capital of soccer in this part of our hemisphere, in this part of the world, with those two clubs regularly drawing 40 to 60,000 people at their games. And if you have ever wanted to see one of the most remarkable stadiums globally, take a look at Rayados' stadium. But this is all about Tigres right now, and if you're a Rayados fan, maybe you're hurting a little bit. Or maybe you're saying, way to go, guys. It lifts the profile for everybody. And then you can kick yourself and say, wow, look how close LAFC was to finally maybe getting it done. RSL's been close in the past. All right, so phone calls, Dynamo, Tigres, Premier League, Manchester United 1-0 today over West Ham in the FA Cup. McTominay getting the game winner in extra time in that one. United looked less than... into it, but we'll get into that a little bit. Really, I think more to their draw against Everton on the weekend and how damaging that was, as Man City now is the team to beat. All right, we're streaming at ESPN975.com. Again, 713-780-3776. I would love for you to hit me up on Twitter during the show if you've got questions, comments, or over on Facebook Soccer Matters, and I may read some of these comments on the air. But I'm looking for you guys to call in the show tonight, 713-780-3776. Tigres fans, like I said, I want to hear from you. Liga MX is so out front with the Tigres brand globally now. It's huge. It really is huge. And so is Tom Brady taking a seventh Super Bowl title. Do you realize 47% of the years he's played in the NFL, he's gone to the Super Bowl. That's pretty remarkable. The best, undeniably, takes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defies a lot of the critics who are the experts, also defied him in the initial stages when they say he wouldn't be able to lift the Buccaneers. You talk about the influence of one man. It's unbelievable. Oh, by the way, the Glazers, who are now Super Bowl champs, Aaron, they also own Manchester United. How about that?
Because they don't have enough titles then to hang their hats on.
Well, United, I've got some interesting sound that we're going to play tonight from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when it comes to trying to win the Premier League title this year. And I don't think United fans will particularly like it, but it might be that he's speaking from Reelsville. So here's what we got. First segment, open. We're going to talk about a number of different topics, including the MLS Players Association and Major League Soccer coming together. There will be no lockout. There will be no walkout. There was never going to be. If you're a soccer player and you're going to be assured 100% of your salary this year and your bonuses in a time when people don't have jobs, ain't nobody walking out. Guest tonight, excuse me, on the show, as I lose my voice, Tab Ramos, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, segment 2 and 3. Long interview, over 20 minutes, and we will address Carlos Salcedo to Houston. My sources told me that the Dynamo had reached out to Salcedo's agent. What does that mean? And I can tell you this. The value of Salcedo and the players on Tigres that are performing well is escalating right now. And then Thursday, they're going to be on the big stage against Bayern Munich. And you have a good game against Bayern Munich, there's no telling what can happen. 713-780-3776. So Tab will be on segment 2 and 3, and we are really getting great stuff from him on this show. Derek Jones, the new Dynamo midfielder, acquired with $250,000 of general allocation money. Dynamo were then able to get Ethan Bartlow, a center back out of Washington also, so did really well with the draft. Derek Jones is on the show tonight. It's an amazing story. From Ghana to Philadelphia to Bethlehem Steel in the USL. Prior to that, he was in the Philadelphia Union Academy, who's getting a lot of notice right now. First ever homegrown to start for the Union. And then obviously was in Nashville last year, played the Under-20 World Cup under Tab Ramos. And you'll see the connection between Tab and Derek Jones. Now, he's 6'3". He's got soft feet. He's hopefully going to be everything that Wilfried Zahibo was not last year for the Houston Dynamo. And his story is an amazing one. I really hope you listen to that interview. So Derek Jones will be on the show tonight. Speaking of the USL, we're going to do a deep dive into that with San Antonio FC president Tim Holt. Remember, they were felt that they might be in the driver's seat to get an MLS franchise before Columbus Crew was then moved to Austin, and all that angst occurred. In some ways similar to when San Jose was gifted to us here in Houston to become the Houston Dynamo. All right, so Tigres, 54th minute, Andre Pierre Gignac. They defeat Palmeiras 1-0. They advance, as I mentioned, to the FIFA Club World Cup final. They're going to take on Bayern Munich from Germany. Huge moment for Tigres as a club, again from the standpoint of exposure worldwide, and Liga MX, frankly. The financial gain that they get for getting to the final. And now they have an opportunity as underdogs to dethrone the European beast that is Bayern Munich, who dispatched Al Ahly, who were the champions of Africa, 2-0 and 2 goals from Robert Lewandowski. So here's a couple takeaways for me. Love seeing Gignac producing at 34 years of age. I love seeing 66-year-old Brazilian coach Ricardo Tucufaretti getting rewarded for all the work that he's done in Liga MX, the work he's done for Tigres. Remember, he played his entire career there. He's Brazilian as a player and then took over coaching and a long coaching career there, including at Unam Pumas, I think 2 times. So a great moment for a 66-year-old coach who is Brazilian. He does defeat Palmeiras, who's one of the Yeah, I think it's the team in Brazil that's won the Copa Libertadores more. And that's what they won over Santos to get to the FIFA Club World Cup. Remember Ferretti also took a moment to step away and take the Mexican national team on an interim basis when they were in some real problems. So this is a guy that's shown incredible appreciation back to Liga MX and, in fact, has achieved so much with Tigres for sure. It also lifts the profile of CONCACAF, by the way, which is our region of the world that qualifies for the World Cup and has a CONCACAF Champions League tournament that enables somebody to go to this FIFA Club World Cup, which is taking place in Qatar. MLS got to the final game. LAFC and Bob Bradley had a lead over Tigres, only to falter, missing one of their top midfielders on that day. And the other thing, I think, is just we saw the overall depth of Tigres, whose spend is quite a bit more than MLS teams. So Tigres, Bayern Munich on Thursday for the FIFA Club World Cup title. I would love anybody to weigh in, 713-780-3776. You're pulling for Tigres. If you're a Rayados fan, are you pulling for Tigres? Are we pulling for Tigres strictly because they're from CONCACAF? Absolutely. In my case, I don't know about yours. Why wouldn't we be? Is there a reason why we wouldn't be? 713-780-3776. Okay. On now to the MLS Players Association and the fact that they have voted to approve the new collective bargaining agreement. So this was, MLS invoked a thing called the force majeure clause because of COVID. There has never been a work stoppage in Major League Soccer. It was a long shot for this to be the first ever, if we are being completely logical here. Wasn't going to happen. Players got out of this, guaranteed no pay cuts in 2021, including bonuses. That is a big deal, because there are a lot of people without jobs and are unemployed in the United States and are really struggling. So to have that sort of security, you're fortunate. The MLS gets the collective bargaining agreement extended by 2 years, and that is what they really wanted. And that goes beyond the 2026 World Cup. The players made some gains on free agency, some salary increases in coming years. But again, no cuts to salary and bonus in 2021 during a global pandemic. I would call that pretty huge. So it's game on. We don't know when. They said April 3rd. I don't think that there's a lot of talk that date's going to be pushed back. It may have been already. I'm not even sure. Let's see what happens there. How quickly teams will get into preseason. Players are coming into their markets now to get ready to prepare for the season. Dynamo are going to be looking to get some exhibition games in. I know also from the Houston standpoint, the Houston Dash of the NWSL under James Clarkson, they're going to play an exhibition game February 28th up at Mike A. Myers Stadium in Austin, Texas. That was broke last night on my show in Austin, Soccer Matters on the Horn. So some good stuff going on there as well when it comes to the preseason and getting back and getting games going. And I mean, the players must be just dying. Juventus today holding Inter to a 0-0 draw. They get to the Coppa Italia final. Juventus, Weston McKennie, Cristiano Ronaldo. As you saw on the weekend, Manchester City is the team in form in the Premier League. And Pep Guardiola, without a doubt, is working his magic right now. This team is hitting all cylinders. It's a team that's missing Sergio Aguero. They're playing without a striker. They're playing without the top playmaker in the Premier League and Kevin De Bruyne. And Liverpool got smacked 4-1. And they're in free fall. And I do believe we have a soundbite from Roy Keane, Aaron, if you can pull that for me. It's a short soundbite from the former Manchester United midfielder who's been very critical of Liverpool. So here's Roy Keane, the former Manchester United midfielder, working for Sky Sports. Here's his comment on Liverpool.
To me, they've been bad champions. And I just don't mean today. You can lose a game of football, but I can't figure this group out. Again, I'm looking at them, and even the game during the weekends, Brighton were comfortable during the game. You can be beaten in the game. There's a way to get beaten. But I don't see that. I think maybe they've all believed the hype over the last year or two. And we spoke about there'd be some sort of drop-off, but they're playing for a big team in Liverpool. It's as if they won the league last year. They've all got a bit carried away, and they've all believed their own hype as if they're going to be teams. But in my mindset, when you won a league title, your next challenge was always, can we do it again?
So that was Roy Keane, and of course, obviously, played for the rivals Manchester United. But if there is a Liverpool fan out there that wants to respond to that, has Liverpool been bad champions? Is it simply because of the injury to Virgil van Dijk? Performance? What has happened? Because many a team has been able to absorb the loss of a key player. Now, granted, this loss of Virgil van Dijk, this is a man that's absolutely fundamental to the way they play. Are we getting too many excuses from Liverpool? You tell me. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsor of this show. When we come back, we'll continue our soccer talk. It is the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. And we'll be joined by Tab Ramos of the Houston Dynamo, the head coach. He will talk on a number of topics, including the interest in Carlos Salcedo.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters. Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
Viene Guiñac, gol! Gol! De los Tigres! ¡Qué rifazo de Guiñac!
Los Tigres to the FIFA Club World Cup final on Thursday, and you'll be able to catch that on Fox Sports 2, I believe. So looking forward to that. I'm going to really dig into that. I think Tigres is going to make a good showing in that game. I think physically they can compete with Bayern Munich. Obviously, we know how star-studded Bayern Munich is, but it's a big moment for Tigres, and I think they're going to live up to it. I really do. 713-780-3776 is the number here. We welcome you back. Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I've bought from Advantage numerous times. I love the drive of the BMW. I now have an X5, so I can throw a dog in it. I can throw a bicycle in it. Sometimes I'll throw a bike in it. And I'll drive out I-10 and get out to like Weimar or Columbus, LaGrange, and just pull over in these back roads and just start riding. Nice and peaceful out there, no cars. But I can do that because I've got a BMW, Advantage BMW Midtown X5. They're going to cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. You can get in a 3, a 5, or a 7 series down there. Justin, Stephen, ask for them, Stephen Prather. Or Justin, I am not even going to try your last name right now, and he may be listening to the show. He always laughs. But I shop there and have for many years. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. It's AdvantageBMW Midtown. Midtown. Remember that. All right. Here's Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos. First thing off, we would ask you, Tab, is just it's probably a great relief to see that the MLS and the Players Association have come together and ratified an agreement.
Yeah, it's a big relief. Obviously, because we don't, you know, as coaches, we don't really know what's going on. We're just kind of waiting. We're not really allowed to speak with the league about it or speak with the players about it. So we're a little bit in limbo, you know, we're waiting, but obviously we knew that something was going to get worked out. I think, I'm just glad that it already happened.
Head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Tab Ramos, joining us tonight on Soccer Matters. We appreciate his time as always. So, we're hearing some rumors the start was going to be April 3rd. Could that potentially be pushed back? Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard exactly what you just said, that it might be pushed back. It was, tentative supposed to start the 3rd or 4th, but it wasn't finalized. And now the latest we heard, it may get pushed back a week or two. I'm not sure. Yeah.
So I saw you tweet something out nice about Tigres and their great success getting to the final of the FIFA Club World Cup and what it means for our region and everything. And most Dynamo fans should know that you played for Tigres, and you and I have discussed the time you came there and was playing with the team in a friendly many, many years ago. And you really, at that stage, were very unique as an American soccer player playing in Mexico. I mean, I can only think of you and Clay Koeman and maybe, I think, Eric Winalda and Marcelo as well. But it was a small group of guys who were going down there. Was that a prideful moment for you, having played for that club, to see them achieve what they have?
It was, watching the game, it meant a lot. I was a Tigres for a very short period of time. It was only a couple of seasons. It's such a warm club. It has such great fans, that it'll always have a place in my heart, So when they were able to win this game against Palmeiras and get to the final, I mean, this is a huge achievement. It's a huge achievement for a CONCACAF club to be able to do it. And if I had to pick one that had to do it, it definitely would have been them. I mean, they've had quite an amazing decade. This didn't just happen overnight. Tigres has been a really strong player in all of, North America, Central America, in South America in the last 10 years.
Yeah, nice moment for Tuca Ferretti too as well. Longtime coach there who's pretty much dominated Liga MX recently. Your time in Monterrey as a city, it's a place I've spent a lot of time as well at both the clubs. Your time down there, tell me about it and what the city was like back in those days and maybe the rivalry between Tigres and Rayados.
Yeah, it was, I was coming from Betis in Spain when I went there. And Betis, obviously, it's also a great club with a lot of great fans. But fans in Spain are a little bit different than they are in Mexico. It was only in Mexico that I learned that, how much really the fans love their players. Anybody that can put on that yellow jersey for Tigres is, I feel like it's such an honor to have it because the fans just really love you there. So it was really an amazing experience. And, that will always have be important for me. My son is born in Monterrey, and when they pulled him out, it's the first thing the doctor said was, "We have a new Tigre here." So I mean, if you couldn't imagine that was my firstborn, and my firstborn is born in Monterrey, and when the doctors pull him out, they say, "We have a new Tigre." I mean, if that doesn't have a huge impact in your life, it's not like you can just forget it as just another club you played with. Because it's really not. And actually, we had that conversation with my son this morning, because we were talking about Tigres and how amazing it is they made it to the final. And we're just saying, it's not just another club for us. And my son was saying, yeah, because I'm born there, and I feel like I haven't really lived there much, but I feel like I'm born a Tigre.
Yeah.
It's really strange, but it does have a special place for us.
Yeah, and I mean, teams like Tigres and Atlante, and I mean, they've been coming through Houston all the way back from the late 70s. So it's pretty incredible. Let's talk a little bit about the roster. We're talking here with Tab Ramos, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Let's just check in on kind of what your priority is. I know you're very comfortable with the roster that you've put together now. You're pretty happy with it. But, we'll do a two-week check-in from the last interview we did and just kind of see if anything has changed in your mind as you look this roster over and areas of need and designated players and these types of things.
No, well, at the moment, I think we built the type of roster. I think we started to bring players that can make the type of effort that we need to play the way we want to play, and players who have quality in those positions. At the same time, over the last couple of weeks, we're not really training. We have some voluntary training sessions that we're doing now. So coaches, our full coaching staff is out on the field with the players, but sometimes it varies. Sometimes we have 12 players. Sometimes we have 18. any player that comes to town has to go through the 9-day quarantine period first before they're allowed on the field. So it's not easy, but players are starting to trickle into town. And at the moment, there's really, you know, are we thinking about adding anyone or making any moves? Yeah, I mean, we're always thinking about that. But we're not at a pressing moment right now. We'd like to see what the team looks like when we're all together first.
Tab, there was a report out of ESPN MX in Mexico about Carlos Salcedo. Is there anything you can say about that? I mean, we all know he's an outstanding soccer player, and he's on Tigres, and he'll be in the FIFA Club World Cup final against Bayern Munich. But is there anything we can say about that in the Houston Dynamo as far as monitoring him or talking with his agent or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, Carlos is a player that I really liked for a long time. That I think would, you know, certainly be one that would fit and one that we're following. But just like we're following, you know, another six or seven players that could potentially fit into what we're trying to do.
Tab Ramos joining here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Let's talk about up front, because I get this question a lot from fans, and it'll be great for them to hear it from you. With Mauro Manotas moved on, Albert Deliz transferred. This is a part of professional soccer and Major League Soccer's ambition now to be part of the global transfer market. Some people don't feel as though they've been quote-unquote replaced. I look at it and I see maybe a more collective approach now. How do you address that kind of a question when the fans say something like that?
Well, I mean, I think you can't, you know, it's hard to say that until you see the players play. I know how much Mauro was given the team, and I know how important he's been to the club, but we also have to think about where Mauro started. You know, when Mauro came, he didn't replace anyone. He just came to be Mauro. And we have players that we brought in who have potential to be big, big players, you know, Derek Jones, for example, being one of them. So Ethan Bartlow being another. We don't know what those guys are going to give us, and we don't know if they can be one of the best players in the league, but I believe we've taken chances on, and we've made an educated guess on guys that could potentially be big, big players. At the same time, I think you can't argue with the fact that, you know, Maxi Urruti has scored on every team he's been on. Can't argue with the fact that he fits into the way we play because he pressures well and he's an endless worker. You know, we've added Tyler Pascher, who's, you know, he's a great winger. Is he Albert Deliz right now? Of course not. You know, maybe some of that speed is replaced by Fafa Picolto, though. You know, Fafa does have that type of breakaway speed that Albert had. I think we've added some pieces that have certainly made us better than before.
Is Tyler a guy capable of cutting inside from the left? I mean, you know, like you said, you've stockpiled some great attacking talent and some pace and skill. Bahamich, Pico, Lassiter, Pascher. You got Nico Hansen, who was coming off the bench effective. Maxi Urruti. Boy, I mean, there's a lot of guys competing for those three positions up front in attack.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys there. Maybe one or two too many at this point. But that's kind of where we are. You know, we focus on trying to get some wingers that could get behind the defense. And I think we have we have some good options there. And to answer your question on Tyler Pascher, can he cut inside? Yeah, he can. I mean, he's a lefty. You know, he's a lefty, so he can cut inside from the right side. You know, if we potentially wanted to play Fafa on the left, you know, Fafa is right-footed, but he plays really well on the left. And Tyler is left-footed and can play well on the right as well. So, I mean, what we try to bring is players who can get to goal and get goals. That's something that we missed last year. According to how much we had the ball in the attacking third, we just didn't get enough goals last year. And I think now we have some players who I think can score goals.
Yeah, it's a nice looking stable for sure. I want to take you into Derek Jones because I forgot to ask you about him in our last interview. As a holding midfielder and what he can bring, because you know him very well, having coached him at other levels, and I think we saw him with Nashville thrown up in a role up front because of his athleticism. Talk to us about him, Tab, maybe a little bit about how he could help you in the middle of the field.
Yeah, so Derek is a unique type of player. Obviously I had him at the World Cup. He was playing, you know, he played next to Tyler Adams, and they both were endless workers. You know, what he can bring is, you know, he can play the number six position really well because he has, you know, he has very good feet. And, you know, at 6 foot four to 6 foot, he's almost 6 foot four. And to have the type of feet that he has and the ability to run as much as he can, I think he's sort of a unique player. Now, it's up to us to get the most out of him. You know, I think in Nashville, they had Dax McCarty playing that position, and that kind of forced him to be a little bit higher up the field. And when you can move a player of that size and play him almost like a number 10, it kind of shows you the type of feet that he has. Because not every coach is going to be able to trust just an average big guy to go, hey, go play the number 10 role. You know, that's not easy. That doesn't happen. It kind of shows you the type of skill that he has. I'm hoping that we can get Derek Jones to be even a better player than he was in Nashville and that he was at Philadelphia. And by the way, he's only 23.
That's another beautiful thing, right?
Yeah.
Youth is king. Todd Ramos joining us here on Soccer Matters. So I look in midfield, if you put Derek Jones in there, Jones, Seren, Vera, Boniac Garcia, Corona, Palomino, awful lot of guys in there. Again, on paper, more competition.
And I think that's what it is. That's exactly right. You know, our team, I feel, is more leveled out now. I feel like guys are going to have to fight to play every week. It's not any long. You know, last year we kind of went with the same 11 a lot, try to have that consistency. I feel like this year all the players will have to fight to play every week, and I think that's a good situation to be in.
Yeah, you were very firm about playing your best players last year. Now, could you move off that position a little bit this year and be a little bit more flexible and maybe do a little bit more rotating based on the schedule and based on the quality of players you have for whatever the reasons are as a head coach?
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the situation. Obviously, we have a lot of international competitions this summer too. You know, including in March already, there's a CONCACAF, you know, some FIFA dates in CONCACAF in which we likely will lose guys like Seren. And we'll have to deal with that. I'm not sure if if Boniek and Minor will also be part of that fixture, FIFA fixture. So I think we put ourselves in position to have an all around more competitive team, and we're not so much dependent on one or two players.
So that was part one of Todd Ramos there, and a lot of interesting stuff coming out in this interview, and there's more to come. You're going to have to stick around for the next segment coming up. Now, Tab will come back. We'll do part two with Todd Ramos. After that, I will take phone calls for a segment before we get into some other interviews. So I hope you got that phone out, 713-780-3776. Listen to Todd Ramos again, and let's get some conversation back from you, the listener, at 713-780-3776. So part two is coming up around the break. Again, the show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-780-3776 is the number to call here, but the Daspit Law Firm, well, all you got to do is this. All you got to do is call 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They are the presenting sponsors of this show, and they get soccer on the air both in Houston, in Austin, and then via streaming all over the country. Echo and the Bunnymen take you to commercial break.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Ibrahimovic, Rafael Leao, beautifully done. Great chance for 1-0, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic doesn't miss opportunities like that. Slicing through the heart of the Crotone back line, half an hour in.
Basically a give and go that beats three or four defenders in the box. Zlatan gets his 500th goal against Crotone. Say what you want. He's in the Tom Brady category of freak of nature athlete, no question. Maybe Brady does it more with his mind, but Zlatan does as well. And if you heard the interview I did with Joe Corona back then, when Joe first joined the team, Joe had some very interesting comments about playing with Zlatan Ibrahimovic. All right, let's get to part two. Tab Ramos, head coach, Houston Dynamo.
All right, take me a little bit into, as we go to the backs, let's go to Ethan Bartlow and what you like about him. Obviously, he's a big, tall, strong, powerful, tackling center back. He's an All-American out of the University of Washington. What else do you like about him? He's Generation Adidas, so he doesn't count against the salary cap for those listening.
What we've liked the most is his technical ability. You know, he's a center back who can play out of the back. And obviously, you know, that's something that's important to us. Those passes in between lines, those switch of fields, you know, finding the right winger from the left side, finding the left winger from the right side. I think he can do both. And that's important to us. So yeah, we're looking at Ethan being an important part of what we will be doing moving forward, but by no means will he carry any responsibility this year. I think we're going to bring him along a little bit at a time, and as he gets better, he will likely get more time.
Is that a position you're still looking to add anybody else, or are you pretty content? You know, I saw the connection with Salcedo, obviously, but are you pretty content if you don't add anybody there at center back along with Tim Parker? And the rest?
I would say, you know, I'm never content in any of the positions. I think we can always do better. But no, at this point, we're at a good moment where I think all the positions are competitive. And depending on what happens in the market over the next 2-3 weeks, we may add one more player. But I wouldn't be able to tell you at this point if that will be a number nine or that will be a center back or – it's unlikely that it will be a central midfielder, but it could be a forward or a defender.
Tab Ramos joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate the great insight always. Really, really open about the roster and the future. You know, so when I look at Marcelo Palomino, talented young soccer player, you look at guys like Sam Junkwa, you look at Nico Lemoine, and the competition that you have now, you are going to be challenged, obviously, to get these guys playing time. I mean, they can't just train. And I know you talked to me on the last show about, you know, a connection with loaning them out to the USL. I know RGV's situation is a little bit different now with Wilmer Cabrera in charge, and they're kind of going on their own now. Does that change kind of what goes on down there? Because, you know, they're trying to create their own identity and try to win a USL championship.
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't feel any pressure in terms of having to play any of the younger guys. I mean, I think that's up to them and how they do in training. If they deserve to play, I don't mind taking off a 34-year-old and adding a 16-year-old. But the 16-year-old has to earn playing time. He has to make us, if not better, he at least has to keep us the same. And when I feel like that's the case, I will always give the younger players the benefit of the doubt. That I will do. But I won't put a player that'll make us worse. That's for sure. So I don't feel the pressure to have to play anyone. That'll be up to the players to compete and earn their spots.
Yeah, I didn't ask that question well. What I meant was the pressure to get them playing opportunity in USL markets and somewhere else.
Again, the answer is the same. Yeah, of course, maybe we will try to get players like Marcelo or Eric McHugh an opportunity to go and try to make a team somewhere else so that they can play 90-minute games week after week. Preferably they're doing that here because we would like for them to earn a spot to play 90 minutes here every week. But if we see that maybe it's too crowded in those positions, we may send those guys. But, you know, they're going to be in the same position somewhere else where they go. They're still going to have to earn their positions, and it'll be the same at RGV. You know, Wilmer is there now. Obviously, Wilmer is a great coach, and I think he'll do a great job with whoever we send down there. But I'm sure he's going to play the players that deserve to play. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah. Would you consider sending players to the Austin Bold or San Antonio in Texas because of the geographics, maybe making it a little bit easier to monitor them? Or could you send them to other USL teams and other markets where you might have trusted coaches you would prefer your players working with?
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember that, players like Memo had to go somewhere else first before they came back. And sometimes there's a certain advantage to being away from your area. Right. And I've mentioned, you know, this is something I talked with youth national teams a lot as they were coming of age and going into pro teams. Sometimes it's not necessarily good to be in your home area. You have a lot of distractions. And when you move away, you figure out that you only focus on your game. And sometimes for younger players, it's good to move away for a year and see what it's like to fully focus all day on your game only and what you have to do, not on all the other things that are going on, your friends, your family, all the other things that are obligations to you. And so there's a value to that for sure.
The USL in general, you know, when I look at it, I just say to myself, it's incredible. You know, these stadiums, the playing opportunities, front office opportunities for people, how healthy it is for our sport, you know, to be supporting the big league. I mean, you and I grew up with the NASL. There was nothing underneath it. Do you ever just kind of pinch yourself and go, it's incredible what's around the country now? Because I know you've watched a ton of USL games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've watched a ton of USL games and I've watched a ton of academy games. You know, MLS, you know, pumping millions of dollars into youth academies have made the game better. There's no secret there. They've created the proper environments for players to work and get better. And I think the national team is starting to see the benefits of that.
Todd Ramos joining us. Let's talk a little bit about Martin Vazquez, a great friend of yours. You've worked with him under Jurgen Klinsmann. You've played against him. A lot of connection there between you and Martin, who has, like you, a really, really deep and long resume when it comes to working with youth players. So talk about this hiring and maybe enlighten the listeners a little bit about Martin.
Yeah, so I feel we were really lucky to be able to bring him on board. You know, he's a unique individual in terms of coaching experience, because as you mentioned, he has pretty much done it all. You know, he's coached through youth development. He's probably one of the people who has placed more players in MLS than anyone else. You know, you can go on with names, Justin Glad and Brooks Lennon and Sebastian Salcido and Aaron Herrera and Corey Baird, and you go on and on with players who have gone through him to get into MLS. And then you have to say to yourself, well, you know, he's head coach in MLS. He was assistant coach in MLS. He was assistant coach at Bayern Munich. You know, he's assistant coach at the national team. So, I mean, I just don't think there are going to be many people in the world with that type of resume that, you know, and for us to have him here in Houston is amazing.
Yeah, what a staff you're putting together with Omid Namazi and him and, wow, and everybody else who's amongst the staff. Just to parlay off that, your time under Jurgen Klinsmann, what were some of the things you learned from him? Because you and Martin were under him together, and I was just curious as to some of the things that really struck you most about Jurgen, you know, kind of behind the scenes, stuff that we don't get, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think what was most important is to constantly be working and thinking out of the box in terms of putting sessions together for players. You know, Jurgen was very particular as to never wanting to run the same training session twice. And so no matter what, even if whatever exercise we did, we had to tweak it so that it was different than another time. And I think you learn a lot by every day trying to figure out how you can accomplish the same goal, but doing it a little bit, but with different exercises. So we spent most of our time really designing exercises, you know, for different numbers of players. And that was a great learning experience. And then the way he reacted to results in the locker room, that's a learning experience, because there were many moments in which we were winning, in which he kept pretty level, you know, in the locker room. And there were many moments where we were in almost complete panic because we were losing. And yet he would come out to the locker room and complete level headed too. And so he, you know, you always think when you're not coaching at this level, you're always thinking that, hey, you know, the coaches, you know, players need, you know, you have to yell at everybody and you have, you know, and that's not necessarily the proper way always. You know, I'm not saying that there couldn't be certain times where you pick your moments, but for the most part with professional players, you have to stay level headed and just guide them the right way. It's not necessarily about pushing them the right way.
So many people have written articles about him and have, you know, made judgments on him. And I mean, they're not in the locker room, but it was always this thing, oh, well, he's just a motivator and he's not a good tactician. What do you say to that?
You know, I think, you know, it's hard to be in Jurgen's mind because he was such a great player and one of the very few people who likely gets recognized all over the world. So I'm sure, you know, no matter how much I try, I could never see things the way he sees them, and neither can anyone else. And so for someone outside of seeing him work to simplify really what he's about, I think they couldn't get that any more wrong.
Tab, how much excitement is there around you now that, you know, we're getting closer to getting things going, and have you missed the games and the training, and how excited are you for this 2021 season? Because Man, I'm certainly excited. I need a game to call. So I'm a little on the lesser scale than of importance than you and your team. But how excited are you?
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting around here, you know, twirling our thumbs, trying to figure out what, you know, what happens next. We can't wait to get a schedule where we know we're playing a certain team at a certain time. Because that all the MLS schedule has a backwards effect on our preseason and the games we're going to be playing in our preseason. And are we playing some, you know, the only thing that we know at this point is that we're staying in Texas. We're not going outside of Texas. And, you know, obviously we hopefully will be playing Austin. We'll be playing FC Dallas a couple of times and likely a couple of teams, USL teams that'll come either from other states or they're already here. So, can't wait to get one, you know, to get one game on our schedule so we can start preparing.
Fantastic stuff there from Tab Ramos. That is two segments packed with information. If you're listening, he spoke about Carlos Salcedo and the interest the Dynamo have of Tigres, the center back, the acquisition now of Martin Vazquez to their staff, Derek Jones, roster depth, youth earning opportunity, the USL, Maxi Arruti, and some fascinating stuff also on Jurgen Klinsmann and the mind of Jurgen Klinsmann. So great stuff there. So here's what I want to do when we come back. Line them up, 713-780-3776. React to the interview. Give me your take on the roster. But let's come back and let's take some phone calls. 713-780-3776. All brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm and the Smiths to break.
ESPN 97.5.